Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
The things that's happening in our world today seems almost unbelievable. When you think about the terrorists that have created havoc throughout the whole world, it's difficult to believe. What's happened? Is there any explanation of what's taking place? I think there is, and the Bible helps us see what's happened in our world. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul tells us about some things that I think gives us an explanation of what's occurring in our world. Beginning in verse 18 of Romans 1, Paul said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," or to them, "for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." The American Standard Version says they became vain in their reasoning instead of imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What that's really saying is they changed the truth about God into a lie. They made the truth that God is a lie. And they tried to eliminate God from their world. An example of that's found in the 10th and 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, where they thought they'd build a tower that would reach to heaven, and that they'd be able to get along without God. And that's just one example of it. So, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man is an unusual being. God made man distinct from all the other things of creation. He created man with a mind and with a conscience. But man can do things to his mind that will affect it. God intended for the mind of man to function correctly. God intended for a man to have a conscience that would be regulated by His law, by the morality that's set forth in His Word, and would thereby govern man's relationship one with another. And whenever man fails to recognize that there are some things that are self-evident, then he does something to his mind that affects his thinking process. You ever hear it said of somebody, "Well, he can't think straight"? Well, indeed, that may be true. When God made man and gave him a mind and a conscience, and whenever man fails to use that mind properly and denies a self-evident truth, it has an impact and effect upon his mind. And that's exactly what this chapter says. There's machinery that is built with a certain design in mind. I remember while I was living in Birmingham, the county was doing some road work, and they had some big machinery that they left on the side of the road one weekend. And the next Monday they went back and cranked up a Caterpillar tractor that cost perhaps somewhere around $75,000 or $100,000. And no sooner did he crank the tractor up than the engine just blew apart. And what had happened? That tractor was made to run on diesel gasoline or diesel fluid. Somebody over the weekend put sugar in the gas tank. And when they cranked it up, that sugar that they had put in that just caused that engine to fly apart. Why? It wasn't designed to run on that. It destroyed it. Now the mind of man is made to think. It's made to think logically. God gave us a mind so that we can reason. But whenever man gets to the place where he rejects God and the knowledge of God, he loses the ability to think correctly. And that's exactly what Paul said. Notice, he said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. That is, in their reasoning, as the American Standard Version says. And thereby lost the ability to think correctly. And you know what's happened to our world? Just exactly the thing that happened to these people that Paul was talking about. There has grown up in our world and developed in our world the idea that we don't need God. Humanism is a philosophy that's being taught today that man is his own God. And that the Bible and the God of the Bible is out of date. With all the modern things that we have today, that we don't need God anymore. The Human Manifesto says that man didn't need God, that he could solve his own problems, handle his own problems, and with his mind, that he'd be able to deal with all the problems that he had and solve them. And that's what's happened in our world. You think about the fact that in our public schools, in the science books, evolution that denies God is taught and paid for with our tax money. And whenever it is suggested that if they're going to teach the theory of evolution, they ought to at least expose young people to the idea of the God of creation. They say, no, that's religion. You can't put that in the classroom. But evolution is humanism's religion. And so the religion of humanism is being taught in our schools, and our young people are being continually exposed to it. Now, whenever a person accepts the theory of evolution, they accept something that is illogical. There's not any logic about it at all. And yet, many of the scientists today will say that evolution is a proven fact. That's a lie about God, and that's a lie about evolution. The theory of evolution has not been proved and never will be proved. That something came from nothing is an impossibility. It's always been strange to me that if evolution is true, why it is that it stopped. They say that man came from a monkey. Well, if that's true, why have not men evolved into angels? Why did it stop? If men came from monkeys, what stopped monkeys from continuing to evolve in men? We still have monkeys today. Has anybody seen a monkey become a man? No. Why? What happened? Why did it stop? If one monkey could become a man, would somebody explain why every other monkey might not evolve into a man? Whenever evolutionists go inside of the laboratory with nothing and come out with something, then the theory of evolution will have some basis for that claim. But until then, they don't have any basis for it at all. And so evolution then is saying that there is no God. And in so doing, they are making an illogical argument. And whenever people begin to reason in that way, it does something to the process of man's thinking. And that's exactly what Romans 1 says. And that's what's happened in our world. Men have rejected God, and in rejecting God, Paul describes what happened. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What does man worship? Material things. Listen to the next verse. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Is anything any more true than that today? Think of what's happened in our present society in relationship to what that passage says. Then not only that, he said who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. What is it that man worships today? The creature. Think of the emphasis that's given today to creature comforts. Man's temporal needs. There's more emphasis and interest and concern about creature comforts than there is of God. And whenever men worship themselves, they become like that. We become like what we worship. And therefore our mind is affected. And so Romans 1 teaches these principles. First of all, whenever men reject God, they cannot understand themselves. If I'm made in the likeness of God, and if I eliminate God, how am I going to understand about who I am and where I came from? Tell me that I came from a monkey. And I'm only a higher animal. What's going to happen? Put that in my mind and convince me of that. That affects my thinking process, and then I begin to live like an animal. And that's what's happened. Why is it that somebody's willing to put a bomb on an airplane and destroy 300 or 400 people? Because they think they're animals. They live like animals. They're just like people in the jungle, animals in the jungle. What's all that about? When men reject God, they can't understand themselves. I don't know who I am. I don't have any purpose in life. Why should I? If this life is all that I have, what purpose and meaning is there to it? Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's vanity. All is vanity and vexation. But not only when I reject God can I not understand myself, I can't understand my neighbor. How can I understand my neighbor when I can't understand myself? And I can't. What do I care about neighbors? I don't. In fact, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and thy strength. How does that affect me and thy neighbor as thyself? Whenever somebody will put a bomb on an airplane or on a car and let it blow up and kill innocent people, think about putting a bomb on an airplane and letting it blow a family and a little baby out a window. Go out the side of an airplane and fall to earth and kill them. How can people be so animal in their nature and so destructive and have such little regard for life? Because they have rejected God. If I didn't come from God, then my neighbor didn't come from God. Why should I care about my neighbor? I live like animals then. First things come first, and I come first. And that's what's happening in our world. But I want to show you there's another statement that is also made. Let me read on down a little bit further. Verse 27 said, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." You see, they don't even understand the very way that they're made. "Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Been reading the newspaper lately? You've been reading about a disease that's especially subject to those who violate or follow the principles set forth in this passage? "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The margin says a mind without reason. What? That's exactly what this chapter says. When a man rejects God, he loses the ability to think straight. He can't think reasonably. He's put something into his mind that has thrown the cogs out of order. And his mind does not function properly. And therefore, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, that's what happened in our world today. Our world rejecting God. Those that are trying by terrorism and other means to upset the world. Living without God, they have lost their mind. They can't think right. That's the kind of world that we live in. That's not all. Verse 31 says, without understanding. And so they lose the ability to think straight. And then they can't understand. And so society is built upon two fundamental pillars. One, that there is design in this universe in which we live. And a design denotes a designer. What would you think would happen to the mind of a man that every building that he came to denied that there was a designer behind that building? And said, "You'll never convince me but what that building just threw together." Now you let a man spend his life arguing that, insisting that, and claiming that against all that's contrary to that, and it wouldn't be long until you'd have to take him down to Tuscaloosa. Why? That very process of thinking will destroy his reasoning ability if he insisted and made himself believe that. And that's what this chapter says. When we don't use our mind correctly, seeing the relationship between design and designer, we're doing something to our mind. We're throwing it out of gear. And then we lose the ability to think straight. We have a mind that cannot reason. We have a mind that cannot understand. And so he said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Where'd all that come from? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so our society is built upon two fundamental principles. Number one, that there is a design in this universe, and back of that design is a designer. And that designer is to be respected. And that is what produces order among men. Now, whenever that's rejected, that leaves the world without order among men. Whenever men reject the fear of God, it leaves only the fear of man. And I want to ask you, what is it that grips the heart of our world today? It is the fear of man. But why? Because we're living in a world that has denied and rejected the fear of God. No longer do men respect God and fear God. And God has allowed His judgment to be brought upon this world that leaves men afraid. When I was growing up as a boy, even after I married, in the community in which I lived, after Hazel and I first married, we didn't even have a lock on our door. We'd go off and be gone for a week. Wouldn't think about locking the door. Why? We weren't afraid of anybody going in. Why? Because then people in the community where I live and the world in general respected God and feared God. You think that's true now? No, it's not true now. What's happened? God made this world so that when men decide they're going to get along without Him and reject Him and deny that He made this world and that this is His world, it affects man's mind and his thinking process. And he gets to where he can't think straight. And when he gets to where he can't think straight, he doesn't care what he does. He doesn't have any respect for anybody else. He doesn't respect life. And this land in which we live right here tonight is a land that no longer respects God and fears God. He's been kicked out of our public schools, not even allowed to pray in our school. He's been kicked out of our, not only our high school, but our colleges. He's been kicked out of our government to a great degree. And we're left with the consequences. And we haven't seen the end of it. Unless there is a coming back to realize that when men refuse to glorify God, that God gives them up to their own way. And when men refuse to fear God and respect God, there comes the time when the fear of men grips their hearts. And that's our world today. Tragic. I remember when I used to read Romans 1 and think about what happened to that world when men rejected God. And I wonder, how could men ever get so far away from God so that God would allow a world to be like that? And as I read that, it never dawned on me that I'd live to see the day where I'd live in just exactly that kind of world. But that's what I've lived to see. And that's what you see. And I do not know what the end will be. I do know that this world belongs to God. And unless there's a coming back to God and to His Word, the mind of man and the process of man thinking will only become worse. And God will give the men up to their own lust their own hearts. Three times in that chapter it says, God gave them up. And every time that God gave them up, they went lower and lower in that degradation. Where will our world go? If we do not turn back to God and come back to accept Him, we haven't hit the bottom yet. When Paul said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He's talking not only about individual, but he's talking about a moral law. And that moral law stated in Romans 1. In view of what's been in the papers lately, and in view of what's been on the news, on TV, and how it's in the mind and the hearts of so many, I thought it worthwhile to talk about this tonight, to remind us of what happened in our world, and that is not accidental. That those of us who are Christians and believe the Bible, believe the Word of God, God told us what's taking place. It's sad that we have to live in a world like that. That ought to make us want to stand up for the Bible, hold up the Bible, and call men back to the Bible. Because that's the only thing that's going to change it. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, do you deny that God made the world? That this world has design? Young people, don't let them put evolution in your mind. That will destroy your ability to think reasonably, correctly. It'll destroy your ability to understand. You can't understand yourself. You can't understand the world in which you live. And you can't understand your neighbor. Don't accept that. Accept the fact that God made the world and God made you. Gave you a mind and a conscience. And let that word regulate your life. Let that be the standard by which you live. And you can think and reason correctly. And your life will be what it ought to be. Let me encourage you tonight, if you're not a Christian, you're contributing to the godliness of this world. And like the people described there, you're going down and down and down. Time will come when conscience can be seared. Paul said to Timothy, to Titus, he said, there are some whose conscience are defiled. And that's what's described in Romans 1. Let me encourage you then to become a Christian tonight through faith. Penance is one of the confession of your faith that Christ is the Son of God, be baptized. And then let the Bible direct and control your mind and your heart, that you may think as you ought to think and live as you ought to live.